After a long, boring service one Sunday morning, pastor announced there would be a board meeting just after the service. So a visitor came to the board meeting, and the pastor looked at him and said, this is a board meeting, board members only. And he said, I just wanted to see if any of the members is as bored as I was. I wanted to shake their hand. Amen. Well, it's not boring when God's presence is here. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 19. I want to preach the word of God there. Psalms chapter 19. I want to talk to you this morning about the revelation of God. And God cannot be explained in one sermon. Or all the books of the world couldn't explain him, but yet God has revealed himself to us in a powerful way, and he lets us know certain ways he wants, certain things he wants us to know about who he is, and he reveals this throughout scripture. But let's notice the word of God, Psalms chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, I pray that you'd bless God, the ministry of the word of God today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The revelation of God. I believe right here in Scripture there's some things that God wants us to know about him. And I believe that the revelation of God is an unending revelation. Matter of fact, I believe in eternity we will continually hear and as God reveals himself to us. God has never began anywhere. He will never end anywhere. Everything in our life and in humanity has a beginning and end, you know, but we think what goes up must come down, but in God's eternity, there is no distance and time irrelevant unless he makes it relevant. And so God never began, he will never end. So God is eternal, and we need to understand that. And God has revealed certain things he wants us to know about himself. Praise the Lord. And so here in Psalms chapter 19, I believe there's things here that God reveals. And God reveals himself even in creation. God reveals himself through his word, and God is revealed in his mercy for humanity. Praise God. And so God is a merciful God. I'm glad that he is. The Bible says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not all consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It says that in the book of Lamentations. But the revelation of God, we live in a religious world. It is Mission Sunday, but we live in a religious world. Wars are fought over religion. And if religion's all you got, you don't have much because the world is full of religions. And most people believe in a supreme being of some kind. There are people, atheists, that believe they don't believe in anything until they get ready to die and then they become believers all of a sudden or believe that God exists. And you and I, we're against the belief of polytheism, which is the belief of many gods. As a matter of fact, Paul went to a place in Athens in Greece where he said had a tomb to the unknown God. And they had many gods everywhere Altars for every god, I guess for the unknown god in case they left one of them out. And Paul starts there and reveals to them one true God. It says, the God that you don't know, I'm going to tell you about him. Praise the Lord. And so there is that. There's pantheism, which believes that God is all and all is God. We don't believe that. There's universalism that believes that every religion leads to God, leads to heaven. We don't believe in that. The Bible doesn't teach that. There's deism, which believes that there is a supreme being who created all things but is not present, and that he doesn't care. He's so far removed that we cannot reach him or have no relationship with him. That's not what we believe. Correct belief is Christian theism, the belief in one true God, that he is present in the universe, that his ear is open to the cry of his people. And so that's the God that we believe in. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and is before him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. Amen. And so we do believe in God's power. And we do believe that God is a personal God. Paul would say, or not Paul, but David would say, hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now, I'm telling you, we can call out to God and he hears, he cares, he knows you, he understands. He's not afar off. He's not something that somebody imagined somewhere else. He is present in this place and can be present in every person. Hallelujah. First, we see that God is revealed in creation. Verses 1 through 6 tell us that. And nature itself speaks of God's glory. And the glory of God means the sum of his perfections. And God is perfect. Praise the Lord. He's perfectly holy, perfectly pure, perfectly true. His word is perfect. It can be counted on. You can believe his word. You can know it's right. And here it says in Scripture that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Handiwork, old in English word, meaning for the work of the hands. God made it, God created it. And it says, day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Man, God shows his handiwork. And every day, every sunrise speaks of God's glory. Every sunset speaks of God's existence and without question. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody can say I have reason to believe there is no God, because the heavens declare God's glory. Creation itself testifies, reveals to humanity that God is existent. Amen. I don't have any trouble believing that there's a God, that he exists, but some people do. And so to not believe is without excuse. Nature alone stupefies atheism and agnosticism. Stupefies means it makes it look stupid. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But you see, society's greatest belief today, or greatest problem today, is unbelief. They just do not believe. And many people today believe there will be no judgment, no obligation to obey Scripture, that we're not going to stand before God, that we're not going to testify before God, that we're not going to have to answer for anything we do in this life. There's many people that believe that, or more people that want to believe that, but I believe something that within humanity tells us that God requires this of everybody, that one day we'll give an account to God. And so God is so much greater, so much more powerful than humanity. It says in Psalms chapter 139, if I could find it here, Psalms only has 150 chapters. But it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsetting, my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. That's pretty powerful. God knows what you're thinking, why you're thinking what you're thinking, what you're going to think before you think it. Amen. Anybody get that? You comprehend my path, my laying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but behold, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. And so that's a wonderful knowledge of God. That's what he has. And so God created us. He made us. And he formed the first man. He formed Adam from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So God knows what we're put together. And somebody told me one time, said, God just lets you go through trials because he wants to know what you're made out of. Let me tell you something. If God made us, he knows what we're made out of. He doesn't have to wonder. Amen. And so God has revealed himself in creation. But so many people do not want to believe there's coming a day when they will give an account for their life. But I can assure you, by Scripture, by God's Word, there is two appointments we are not going to miss. No one will miss, and no one will be late for. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Unbelief. Yes, we will face God one day. You say, well, I'm afraid of the judgment part. Let me tell you something. Let me help you here. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not living for him, yes, you've got something to fear. If you believe Christ is your Savior, he took the judgment for your sins on the cross. And do you believe that? Your sins were paid for at Calvary. And so you won't come under the judgment as far as losing your soul when you stand before God. But unbelief. God's a powerful God. God tells Isaiah the prophet, says, to whom will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes on high. Who has created all these things? The sun, the moon, the stars. By the greatness of his might and strength and of his power, not one is missing. Not one star. Nothing is missing. God put the universe in order and created it powerfully to where people are still looking for trying to figure out a way to get further than the moon. And God created all with the word of his mouth. And so, God is revealed in creation. And God chose people, his church, to cry out the means of salvation. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And God chose people. He chose you and I. He chose missionaries. He chose pastors. He chose evangelists. He chose lay members to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel, proclaim the truth of God's word. God chose you to do that. God created you to do that. Amen. And so God speaks, God's creation speaks in all languages. It says here there is not a, it says there is no speech or language. Their voice is not heard. Their words to the end of the earth. Creation speaks to all peoples, all races, all times, all places, all cultures, all colors. It doesn't matter. God is meant for his church to take this gospel of creation or this gospel message of salvation to the end of the earth. And Paul the apostle said this way, he said to the Roman church, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed to heaven against all ungodliness. God has sent a message to humanity, says you're lost, yeah, but you can be saved. You may be deep in sin. Sin may have overtaken you where you are, but I'm telling you, God is telling you, you can be free from that. God can save you from sin no matter what you've done, where you've been, what sins you've committed. God can wipe your slate clean in a moment's time by true, simple faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you. Hallelujah. And so we know that the preaching of the cross is powerful. Hallelujah. And here, God's creation is compared to the sun. And he said, it's like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. The bridegroom, if he's a groom of any kind, he's fully groomed and prepared for marriage. If he's not, don't marry him. But it's like the sun that shines bright every day, that's faithful to rise, actually the earth to turn. And then it's compared to a strong man running a race. That's what God is compared to, or God compares his creation to. Or like an athlete that's fully trained to compete in a race. And people who are trained to compete in a race, they give everything they have to their physical being, and they try to eat the right food, amen, and do all the things that are necessary to be a good athlete, amen. And if you're like me, don't step on the scales too often. But strong to run a race. I went to high school with a young man that I admired him because he's about my size, about my height, but he was just like 170 or 80 pounds of plain muscle. And that's where the difference between me and him is. And I watched him one day do the pole vault, and as he went up on the pole vault, I want to tell you, every muscle in his body was defined and clear. There wasn't an ounce of fat anywhere. And he was a powerful athlete. But you know, God compares his creation to like a strong man who runs the race. What God has created and what God has made is better than anything you can put together yourself. God created it. And he reveals himself in creation so there can be no doubt who he is. Amen. And the sun, the one that shines in the sky, is universal. And this may be compared to the Trinity of God. You can't explain God, no, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But if we look at this in the sense of the sun is visible. That's one. Amen. The sun puts forth heat. That's two. And the sun gives light for man to do his work upon this earth. And so that's just a comparison of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is amazing because he did, you know, mankind has just discovered, or a few years ago, that light travels 186,000 miles per second. That's not a problem with God. God knows all that. And he decided to let mankind figure that out, or decided to tell him. But God gives direction to humanity. Praise the Lord. And you and I were forbidden to worship creation itself. We're not to worship the sun, the moon, the stars, or anything that's created, but we are to worship the creator of all things. Amen. And we are to worship God and to meditate upon God and who he is and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. And that's where we need to make our focus, not necessarily on the things that he created, but that he is the creator. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of, every good and perfect gift comes from him. Praise the Lord. And so God is revealed in creation. God is revealed in his word and what he says. People speak, it says a whole lot about what they are, but what they say. And God's word is perfect. Verses 7 through 11 here, let's look at it for just a moment. God's word can be trusted. God's word can be leaned upon. Wherever it is preached, it has changed lives, it has saved souls, it's brought people in where they need to be. The law of the Lord is perfect, verse 7 says, converting the soul. Wherever the gospel is preached, people are saved by the power of God. Amen. Lives are transformed. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. It's perfect. God can take simple people like me and make them wise enough to believe what he said. Praise the Lord. God's word is perfect. It is distinct and certain, reliable, right, pure, holy, and true. Hence, it revives those depressed by doubts and fears and habits. It makes wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Back in the 70s, that was a famous chorus to be singing. I still like it. Still the word of God. Amen. And so God's word provides permanent principles of conduct by God's holy grace to give us a rich reward. And the value of God's word is expressed in verses 10 and 11, more to be desired are they than gold, God's word, more than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Praise God. God's word is to be valued above all. Amen. God's word is here to stay. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it. But God gave light to humanity, spiritual light to humanity, that they might be saved, born again of God's Spirit, and may be on their way to heaven instead of on their way to hell. Aren't you glad to be on your way to heaven today? Amen. I mean, what an awful thing it would be if you only had a one-way street here. Amen. And that there was no God and no heaven and no Jesus and no real reality and no none of these things. If your life was plagued by unbelief, my friend, you've got no hope at all. All you've got hope to do is grow a little bit older, a little more cranky. Your bones move a little slower. Your muscles don't work anymore. Some of you feeling convicted. And it just ends up, you die in the end and you become dust again. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said if a born man is born again, he's born of the Spirit, not just born physically, but born spiritually, and there's eternal life. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, friend, you can't do away with a deal like that. You can't refuse a deal that God has made for you and I. Undeserving? No, we weren't deserving, but he is a God of grace. That is his nature, grace. And he wants to save. He wants to spend he wants you to spend eternity with him. Amen. There's a lot of people you know. You might want to visit with them for a little while. Amen. You might say, come back when you can't stay so long. But God says, I want you with me forever. Amen. Amen. So that's God, who he is. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Meditate upon the things of God, the things that are true, that are real. Don't meditate upon this world and what it has to offer. It doesn't have anything to offer, but God has everything to offer. Amen. Praise God.